wanton need of him.
Some says that part is temporary and you can let her go later. But for now, she's your imp,
murmured Indali. Panting, Jill began fanning at her face with her free hand. Her eyes were watching him through her eyelashes.
Gus, you didn't even ask for consent,
she said in a husky voice.
Though, I'm kind of glad you didn't. I'm not sure I would have been smart enough to say yes.
Shaking his head, Gus wanted to very much not have done what he had. He could feel Jill's thoughts now, even when he wasn't in her mind. He could feel her hunger for his magic, her need for it to pool inside of her and slowly fill each and every crevice.
Now, what is it you want, Gus? What can I do to help? I'm feeling very energetic at the moment and quite grateful,
purred the imp.
Tell Melody I'm going to punish her.
You promise?
Melody asked after a second through Serafina's mic. Rolling his eyes, Gus looked at Jill again. Thinking, he came up with only one idea.
What would happen if someone attacked this facility? What's the emergency drill? Where do you go?
Emergency drill?
Jill hesitantly pulled her hand away from her stomach and then turned back toward her computer. She was clearly still very flustered, but was trying to help out.
We haven't run a drill in a bit, but they usually send out a document just to refresh everyone.
Working quickly through her emails and documents, she sorted out a number of things.
And here we are,
Jill said, opening an email and then the attachment.
Here's the route. Sarah, can you... Oh, wait.
Turning, Jill stood up for a second and then removed the earpiece from his ear and placed it in her own.
Hey, Sarah, it's on my screen now. You got it?
Jill asked.
Wait, what?
Great! Was there anything else you might need?
Confirmed Jill.
Good. Should I... Oh, hello. Yes, I am. Really? Oh, that's a pretty name. I like it. Can I call you Mel?
Turning in her chair, Jill stood up.
Okay. Bye, Mel. Bye, Sarah.
Jill said, pulling the earpiece out and then putting her left hand against Gus's face. Using her right hand, she quickly fit it back into his ear.
Now, let's see if I can't.
Jill gazed at Gus's face and then slowly faded away until she was completely invisible.
It wasn't even that hard. Is that how you use your magic? Seems pretty straightforward.
Ooh, I hope Gus likes her. I hope he lets her in on marriage. She sounds so fun. I want an imp,
Melody said in Gus's earpiece. It sounded like she wasn't directly in the speaker, though, as if she was moving away.
I let Gus do whatever he wants to me for a decade at least. No, won't be a part of my vocabulary. A century even. A century of whatever he wants.
What are we doing?
Serafina grumbled.
Dig into that file that Jill showed you. I want to know if there are other versions of it, especially for VIPs,
answered Gus.
Then once you know, explain it to us. We want to see who the most likely person in charge here is.
Oh, that's easy. Site Commander Ixon. He runs the whole site. My boss reports to a director that reports to a VIP that rolls up to Ixon,
Jill said with a shrug of her shoulders.
He's the top guy here.
Gus said. He could just now begin to see through Jill's camouflage. It was formed of horror magic, just like his. In fact, when he reached out to touch it with his own magic, he realized it was his own. Then his camouflage bubble slid into Jill's, and the two individual bubbles became one.
Well, that's neat. I always wanted to learn magic. I didn't realize it'd be this easy.
Jill exclaimed with a bright smile.
This is really exciting. I thought I'd just be stuck behind a desk my whole life, in this dead-end city with nowhere to go. I mean, gosh, I can't even begin to describe how bad it is trying to date here.
Sarah, run Ikeson down and see if you can't find his personal escape plan,
Gus muttered, not responding to Jill.
Yeah, I'd love to say I could do that, but honestly, Gus, I'm worthless here. Everything, every system is segregated and closed, a unit unto itself. The more I dig around, the more I realize I'm in a self-isolated system,
Sarah apologized.
Oh, I see,
Gus muttered.
Why don't we just go to Oxen's office?
Jill asked, tilting her head to one side.
Then Sarah can tap into everything.
Better plan than I got.
Chapter 21. Tool Bags. Exiting back the way they'd come, Jill and Gus moved quickly through the security checkpoints. With her offering to lead the way, Gus felt somewhat better about not knowing the layout of the building, though he was rather unnerved at trusting someone they'd just met. He knew it was impossible for her to betray him without him knowing in advance, but that didn't change or alter his wariness of the situation. At first, she'd been a stumble away from alerting everyone to their location. Amazingly, however, she picked up very quickly on the way Gus was moving. By the time they'd reached the elevator, she was doing reasonably well enough that he wasn't afraid she'd give their position away. Although her rapid proficiency also unnerved him. He had a sneaking suspicion that what Sam had suggested Gus do to the young woman was having unintended consequences, like her being able to call on his own skills and abilities. When they arrived at the elevators, Gus was once more forced to deal with an enemy he was quite tired of by this point, waiting for someone to show up just so he could move on. Jill and Gus ended up standing there with no one else in the lobby.
Well, it shouldn't take too long,
Jill whispered from a foot away from Gus. They had tried to keep close the entire time to limit their presence. Not to mention, he found that he wasn't spending half as much magic with her this close and their camouflage bubbles overlapping.
No,
Gus replied.
No, my boss is always late. Always. We can use the elevator when he stumbles in. Then we have to go back up to the elevator lobby and get elevator one,
Jill murmured.
That might take a while, though. Very few people on that floor.
Nodding his head, Gus wasn't surprised. Honestly, he was expecting something like that, especially since he had experienced something like that several times already.
So, you're married?
Jill asked, tilting her head to one side and looking at him.
I am,
Gus confirmed.
That's nice. Was it Mel or Sarah or the other one in your head?
All three of them,
Gus admitted and looked around. There was still no one here, and he didn't see any cameras. In fact, the only cameras he'd seen at all were at checkpoints, never at any of the in-between points.
Oh, pretty amazing,
said Jill with some excitement.
How many wives do you have? And are you the only husband?
Seven wives. No other husbands. Just me,
Gus explained, slowly turning back to Jill.
Oh, that's gotta be interesting. I was barely able to hold a boyfriend down, let alone seven of them,
Jill said with a rueful laugh.
Then again, I thought the ache, the hunger, was them being the wrong person. I suppose they were, in a way.
Definitely a lot of work at times,
agreed Gus.
The
ding of the elevator thankfully interrupted him. The doors opened and allowed a man to exit. He was moving quickly, with a determined pace. Jill gave Gus a smile as if to say,
"See?"
and then moved into the elevator. Joining her as the doors closed, Gus looked around the interior, except the elevator didn't move. The elevator hadn't been summoned above them, leaving Gus feeling rather awkward in the small enclosed space with the imp.
"There's no reason to feel like that, Gus,"
Jill said with a wave of her hand.
How about you tell me more about yourself, or your time in the service?
How did you know about that?
Gus asked, extremely suspicious now.
Honestly, I feel like I can read your thoughts. I'm still, figuring it out, but it's almost as if I push on you, or your mind, I can start to know things about you.
Jill said in a curious tone.
It's so very interesting and exciting. Like the fact that, you have a severed ear collection? Really? Ears? That's not a great coping mechanism. We'll need to talk about that later.
Oh, please ask Sam right now if this is normal for an imp. I would have liked a warning.
I've been telling him what's happening. He said this isn't normal at all. From what he can tell, Jill is definitely an imp, but also something else, or something special,
Indali said quickly.
Ooh, I'm special? How interesting. Who's Sam? Is it short for Samantha? Is it a wife? Oh, no, it's an incubus. Huh, and that's Indali in your head?
Jill asked, clearly growing more and more used to her leech telepathic abilities.
Oh, she's the revolver, and a rare one. That's really neat. Can I try her later? My stepdad taught me how to shoot and about reloading my own ammunition.
Hello?
Indali said after a second.
Hi, Indali. I like your grip,
Jill said, leaning in close to Gus and looking at the revolver in question.
Is it the original?
Thank you. Yes. It's my natural color,
said Indali, clearly off on her own mental path now.
That's Sarah, Mel, and Indali I've met. The others are Chloe, Janelle, Ness, and Trish. And, who's Dunyasha? You think about her often. She looks pretty, too,
Jill asked, looking up to Gus's face.
I didn't tell anyone about your Dunyasha fantasies. I didn't even think about it, Indali said in a rush. No one. It's from your own thoughts that she got that.
In that moment, Gus was saved by the elevator suddenly moving upward.
You think about Dunyasha?
Serafina growled in his ear.
Damn it.
Oh, my bad. I confused Chloe and Dunyasha. Chloe doesn't have an eye patch. Oh, that makes more sense about why you were thinking of her,
Jill said quickly, reaching over to pat Gus on the shoulder.
They're both vampires? How interesting. Oh, Chloe, of course,
Serafina said with a duh kind of tone. She sounded as if she were appeased.
I'm sorry, Gus. I didn't realize that wasn't a known thing. I'll be more careful going forward,
she said from inside of his own mind.
Like you said, hard to balance the needs of so many women. I'll do my best to help.
Which meant she had hollowed out a space for herself in his head, just as he had done in hers.
You know, you can just come back into my head. It really does feel weird without you there. Actually, I wonder.
Jill paused as the elevator reached the lobby. The doors opened, letting Gus and Jill get out quickly. Once more, they were alone, with no one around. Suddenly, Gus was mentally jerked into Jill's mind and forced down into the spot he'd made for himself, as if he were shoved into a seat and then someone sat down in his lap.
Huh! There, see? Doesn't it feel better?
Jill asked. The space that she'd carved out of his mind fit the exact same space in her own mind. Where he'd felt crowded in his own head, now he felt quite normal. It was nice.
Oh, I'm so glad you agree. Now we don't even have to talk out loud, and Indali can't hear us right now. I blocked her out.
Oh, fuck.
Don't be nervous. It's okay. Really, this feels nice. I like it. Now, we need to go over to that elevator over there,
Jill said, grabbing Gus's hand. Dragging him over, she stood in front of the elevator she'd mentally indicated. She didn't let go of his hand, either.
Hey, Indali, can you hear me?
Jill asked.
Yes, I can, replied the construct.
Oh, good,
Jill said.
Okay, I turned her back off again. Until we need her, there's no reason for her to eavesdrop on us. Now, we just wait. Let's get to know each other a bit better. I'll go first.
Gus really didn't know how to respond other than to stand there, his hand being held by what was essentially an imp boogeyman.
And that was my mom, I think at least. There's memories of a woman before that. A beautiful woman,
Jill said in a soft voice.
With shiny black hair and dark eyes. A smile, a beautiful smile. But it's almost like it isn't a memory either.
Uh-huh, muttered Gus.
As far as my adoptive parents go, they're all right. I went to a company college and they took care of it. It's why I'm here. Company city, company job, no boyfriend.
Jill said, leaving out a massive part of her life in those few sentences.
And with most of my personality ripped free when I'm not at work, oh, I feel so empty in my plain self. I'm looking forward to escaping.
The sound of a door opening behind them caused Jill to pull Gus back a few steps. Then she leaned forward and looked toward the entrance.
Opening this up to Indali again,
Jill informed him.
This'll be our chance to get downstairs. I'm pretty sure that's a senior director. I've seen their picture on some of those silly emails from the bridge they send out.
Oh, I'll have Sarah run them through a few things to see what we get. She's been ripping through your address book on your computer this whole time, seeing if she can list out everyone in the organization,
Indali answered.
Sarah's really tech smart, isn't she? I wish I'd thought of that.
Jill muttered aloud, easing in closer to Gus. The soft clicking of a keyboard that was a constant soft background noise in Gus's ear paused mid-stroke.
Given her degree and background, she's rather smart herself,
Serafina replied after several seconds.
Far more degrees than I could ever earn at her age. Aw, thank you, Sarah. That's very kind of you. Hold on, we can't talk for a bit.
Jill murmured, leaning up next to Gus's ear to keep her voice as quiet as possible. Their target was approaching. Holding onto Gus's shoulders, Jill watched the older man approach them and tap the elevator button. Grimacing, feeling entirely off base, Gus put his hands on Jill's hips. He felt far more awkward with his arms at his side rather than holding to her. He'd already held on to her earlier. Jill started to pat Gus's shoulders, practically bouncing in place as they stood nearly atop one another.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting! Dealing with undead para all day, every day for the last 5 years has been really boring,
Jill exclaimed.
And that doesn't even go into my plain self. Ugh.
Stepping into the now opening elevator, the man reached over and tapped a button. Jill pulled on Gus, dragging him into the elevator, and pushed him up into the corner, then smooshed herself up into his front.
I've never been to this floor. I've always wanted to, but the company looks down on exploring,
admitted Jill.
And curiosity. And asking questions. And, well, anything that doesn't do what the company said. I mean, in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense given what you told me. And speaking of that, I'm looking forward to meeting Miles. I can't believe he was here when the world was created.
I can't. This...
Stop fussing and complaining. You had your crotch against my butt earlier and were fine with that. You even thought about killing me. And are you really going to complain about this? We both know you're attracted to me. I'm not even dressed up right now. I didn't do my makeup really well, and these clothes are cute, but they don't do me any real favors. You're just being silly,
Jill said, thumping his shoulder with a fist lightly. The man next to them looked around himself, apparently having heard the thud of Jill's hand.
Oops, sorry. I'm not used to this whole commando thing. I'll get there. I'm learning a lot just from going through your memories,
Jill promised.
You've really learned a lot about sneaking and being stealthy. Those elves didn't know what hit them.
Forcefully, he built up a shell around his thoughts. He couldn't kick Jill out of his memories or mind, but he could at least shield his thoughts from her.
Okay, I need help. Please ask Sam how I can end this. Now. Please, Indali.
No. Mel said you need to keep her around until we're done with this. Until then, you're in so much trouble,
Indali said in an amused tone.
Even Mel doesn't run you around like this. She just chases enough to not truly annoy you. I'm actually enjoying watching this now.
Hey!
Jill said, poking through his mental shield and rupturing it with a push.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you trying to have a thought to yourself? I'm sorry, I won't do that next time.
Stunned into silence because he had nowhere to hide from Jill, Gus stood there, his arms full of imp. Finally, the elevator dinged and the doors opened. Exiting the elevator, the man adjusted his messenger bag. Jill grabbed Gus's hand and pulled him out of the elevator, following behind their target. Passing through checkpoints set up just like the ones Jill had gone through, they followed the man along. Though this time, there was no canine, which was rather curious to Gus. Once they passed the security point, they found themselves in a long hall. Doors on each side ran the length of it until it reached a four-way intersection. Each hallway from there also had doors upon doors.
I have no idea where his office would be.
Reaching up with his free hand, he tapped the earpiece twice.
Huh? Office. 42A. Turn left.
Serafina directed. Jill pulled on Gus's hand, dragging him down the specified hallway. Either she'd heard Serafina, or she'd read it from Gus's mind.
There it is,
Jill said, marching straight up to the door. It was the last door at the end of the hall. Releasing his hand, she turned to him with an excited grin.
Your turn, Gus.
Shaking his head, Gus eased up to the door and contemplated what to do. It was shut, and there was no telling if Ikeson was on the other side of it.
Sarah feeling anything on the other side that she could slip into?
No. Nothing in there. No cell phone, no Wi-Fi, no signal. But she said she hasn't felt that from anywhere at all other than your own phone,
answered Indali. That was more or less what he'd expected, but he felt he had to at least try. Reaching back to pull his phone out of his pocket, Gus decided he would try to see inside the room with the camera, only to find he didn't have his phone on him. He'd left it in Jill's office.
Oh, here you are, Gus,
Jill said, pulling his phone out of her blouse and holding it out to him.
Thanks.
Taking the phone from her hand and feeling like it was far warmer than it should be, he got down to one knee and put the bottom of the camera under the door itself. Flicking on the camera, he looked at the screen. He could see straight into the office. No one was there. There were no shoes sticking out under the desk, and the lights were off. Standing back up, Gus turned the handle, only to find it was locked. Holding his phone out to Jill, he pulled his lockpick set out after she took the phone back. Removing a city rake and a tension tool, he sloppily raked the lock. It popped open in just a few seconds.
Low-skill attacks are always the best.
Opening the door, Gus went inside, then quickly closed it after Jill joined him. Putting his pick and wrench away, he stuck the kit back into his pocket, then he looked at Jill to get his phone back. Realizing it was once more in her cleavage, since it wasn't in her hand, he decided he didn't actually need it at the moment.
I don't mind pulling it back out if you need it, silly. I just don't have pockets. It's a really cute skirt, but no pockets,
said Jill.
I have my wallet and cell phone on me as well. I left my purse in my drawer.
Not really wanting an answer to his unspoken question, Gus instead went over to the computer and sat down. Then he realized he would actually need his phone to get Sarah into it. Looking at Jill, he found she'd already retrieved his phone again, as well as a charging cord, and was plugging it into the back of the computer.
Thank you, Jill,
Sarah said with actual warmth in her voice.
Of course, Sarah. Not a problem.
Jill murmured in an offhand way. Then she set the phone down and nodded her head.
Good to go. This'll just take a second. I'm betting all the systems are the same, just locked out from one another. This is really exciting and a lot of fun.
whispered Jill with a bit more volume than she probably needed.
All I had going on this week was testing and watching Jeopardy.
The lovely young woman was practically vibrating in place where she stood with her hands closed into loose fists.
Is this what we do all the time?
She asked.
Yeah, kinda,
Serafina answered before Gus could.
We work for Lark LLC. I'm sure Mel will get you a contract before the day is over.
Oh, fantastic. I wonder what my salary will be.
Jill mused aloud, slowly her head tilted to the side, her eyes moving upward, clearly lost in thought. He could hear those thoughts as well, as if she were talking to him directly. All her previous salary concerns, contract negotiations, getting paid for her degrees, paying off loans and debts. Gus took the opportunity to lock out his thoughts from her.
Is she for real? She can't hear you.
Very for real. She has several degrees, a master's in psychology, a master's in paranormal psychology, a real degree, mind you, not the fake version, a master's degree in physics, and a bachelor's in, succubus studies. These are all from the Parasite of CSU, by the way. These aren't silly mail-away degrees or anything.
Damn, she's extremely well-educated then. And the succubus studies, that's kind of hard, isn't it?
Sam agrees and looks a little nervous all of a sudden. He's rather quiet and is on the phone with someone now,
Indali answered.
Take a picture of her if you can.
Gus dismissed his thought shield the moment he heard Jill's thoughts come to a halt. Her attention turned back to him and what was going on around her.
Sorry, I was just thinking. So much change, so fast. I never thought I'd get to put my cow statue somewhere,
said Jill with a warm smile for him. Blinking, Gus realized this was an opportunity.
You're right. How about a picture? Since the phone is inside the spell, it'll actually capture you,
Gus said.
Oh, I don't know. I'm really not looking my best, but... Oh, all right. Posterity, right?
She said almost to herself. Then she gave him an even brighter smile and shifted her posture, pushing one hip out, putting her hand on it, and then giving her hair a quick flip with her other hand. Picking his phone up while being careful not to disconnect it from the computer, he took a quick picture of Jill and then set his phone back down.
Found it,
Serafina said in his ear.
Ready to trace it out and see where it goes?
It was the perfect timing for Gus.
Yup, let's go,
Gus said, pulling the cord free and taking his phone. Before he could even contemplate putting them away, Jill took both from him and tucked them straight into her bra. Then she wound up the cord and stuck it on the opposite side of her chest.
All set,
she said with a nod of her head.
Thanks,
murmured Gus. Chapter 22 Poisoned Well. Once more, Jill entered the hallway that they'd only just left a handful of minutes ago.
I didn't see any exit signs as we went. Did you?
Asked Jill.
Nah, nothing.
Frowning, Gus started down the hallway.
Turn left at the intersection,
directed Serafina. Making the appropriate turn, Gus started down that hallway as well.
While you're going, you should know I had a lot more access on that terminal,
Serafina added.
A lot more. This really is their Pentagon. There are thousands upon thousands of soldiers stationed here. Ikeson had all the escape plans in his email. This whole thing is a massive garrison.
Really?
Gus whispered.
Yes, there were over 100 floors each on the elevators we've been in. Each elevator has its own set of floors it visited. There were 10 elevator bays. This complex is massive, truly massive. Everyone we see coming in from the city are just workers who live in the area and provide cover for what's down here,
Serafina explained.
Exactly,
Jill agreed.
That'd be my guess. When I first got here, I was hired on to provide post-combat therapy for soldiers. Except they were all pretty far removed from empathy. There wasn't anything I could do for them. You, I can work with easily, Gus, even with your regretful past.
But them, they were like robots. No starting point. Nothing I could fix.
Pass, thanks, muttered Gus.
He accepts,
shouted Melody through the earpiece. That meant Indali was likely covering their side of the conversation.
I'll pay!
Oh, good. I'll be happy to start as soon as we're done here,
Jill said with a flick of her wrist. It was an entirely different personality in that instant from what he'd seen up to this point.
I'm sure we can set up a weekly meeting to meet your needs.
The professional doctor versus hot young woman?
Gus, that's... Well, I suppose that's true. I'm suddenly feeling a lot like someone else.
Jill said with a laugh.
Hot young woman, huh?
He'd forgotten that she was playing home invasion with his mind at the moment.
Through that door,
Serafina prompted as they got to the end of the hall. Sitting next to the doorframe was an RFID reader, one that looked very high-end, and not something he could defeat with just a magnet. Not to mention, the opening mechanism was a push bar, which meant it wasn't a conventional type of lock he could just pick or rake open.
Any other possibilities? I don't think we're getting into this one,
Gus muttered.
There's no port, no card slot, and I'm pretty sure the system is centralized elsewhere. This is just the reader, and there's no card for me to clone. It's also not pickable.
No, nothing that I can see. It must open in the case of an emergency. Though Ikeson isn't due in today. He has his out-of-office message up. Won't be back for 2 days,
added Serafina.
I'll call out sick for the rest of the day, then, and the next several days,
Jill said with a firm nod of her head.
And we'll come back then. That way I keep my... well, me. And you can grab Ikeson.
Good plan,
Melody shouted. Unfortunately, Gus couldn't disagree. There really weren't many options at the moment. He sure as hell wasn't getting past this door without breaking it open. Both turning in place, Jill and Gus made their way back to the lobby. Waiting for an elevator, Gus felt odd. He knew Jill had to head back to her office to retrieve her purse, as well as to let her boss know she was calling out sick. What was surprising to him was that it had gone unsaid that he'd be going with her, as though it was his job to get her back out with her mind intact. Passing through the security point again, they set off the dog. Again. By this point, though, it had already gone off twice for no good reason. The handler just tried to comfort his partner and ignored the growls. Getting back to the office at the rear of the cells, Jill paused and then sighed. Her office door was open.
Oh, he's waiting for me again. He likes to bother me a lot,
Jill said.
Doesn't take no for an answer. I have to go to the bathroom and come out from there. It'll look weird otherwise.
Jill shook her head slowly and then moved off toward a set of doors set to one side. Gus was rather thankful there were no cameras around here. Otherwise, Jill's emergence from the bathroom wouldn't match up with her having gone into her office a while ago. Moving into Jill's office, Gus took up a corner and looked at the man they'd passed earlier. He had brown hair that was pulled straight back in a slicked style, dark brown eyes, and a somewhat smug expression. Most interestingly, when Gus really looked at the man, he realized he was a Cambian, something he saw rarely, if ever.
Huh, almost as rare as a lich, though... I'd never heard of an imp. Does that mean imps and Cambians were enslaved in a way? Apparently, Sam thought he had all the imps accounted for. That sounds a lot like he has them all under his personal control. He's a planar lord, right?
Oh, that sounds interesting. And a Cambian is... what?
Jill asked, her presence still sitting quite comfortably inside his mind.
Half demon, half human. They were pretty much bred for war and to breed.
Oh, that unfortunately makes a lot of sense,
lamented Jill. Lounging in one of the chairs in front of the desk, her boss waited, as if he had nothing else to do. The faint click of the bathroom door shutting made the man sit up straight. He adjusted his tie, pulled on his jacket lapels, and then casually leaned to the side in the chair, primping himself and making ready for Jill. When Jill did re-enter her office, Gus watched her closely, watched as she glanced to the man, hid a look of disgust on her face, and went to her chair.
Good morning. I'm afraid I have to go home. I just spent way too much time losing my breakfast,
muttered Jill in a hoarse voice.
Hey, that actually sounded real.
Thanks. I've had to learn to act with this tool bag,
Jill said casually.
What? Oh, so soon? Are you all right?
Asked the man.
No, I'm sick. Going home. Not sure when I'll be back. I'm sure my plain self will call in if I can't make it,
Jill mumbled. Opening the drawer to her desk, she pulled out her purse, slung it over an arm, and then tapped something into her keyboard.
I'll see you later,
Jill said, not waiting around.
Maybe I should drop by to make sure you're okay later,
offered the man.
No, thanks,
said Jill, moving straight out of the room.
How about dinner when you get back then?
Jill shook her head, not responding to him this time. She just kept walking. Making no other move to follow or bother her, the man left Jill's office and wandered off toward another door.
I think he went back to his own office.
Oh, all right. That'll give me a moment to...
Jill paused in her tracks and looked like she was moving things around in her purse. Moving past her, Gus turned to see what she was doing and got a rather revealing look down her blouse as she pulled out his cell phone and his cord. Holding them close to her chest, she glanced at him and gave him a smirk. Reaching out, he took them from her and tucked them away. Letting her purse fall back to her side, Jill headed out past all the cells. Filled with the undead and unthinking nasties of the world, Gus didn't want to consider what would happen if this place had a containment problem. Passing through the same security checkpoint, she was once more searched. The dog growled again, though this time he did so at Jill herself. Then they were off to the elevator and back up to the ground floor. Somehow Jill managed to not look at him, though he could feel her slowly moving around in his mind, like someone exploring a warehouse going from crate to crate. Reaching the lobby, Jill went a different way than she'd come in, heading over toward a distant hallway.
Okay, this is it. If you're going to save me, this is the time. I'm going to lose myself here, lose who I am,
Jill said.
Once you join this location, you're never the same again.
Chewing at his lower lip, Gus had been considering the situation. He figured the glass booth was likely what was tearing people's selves out. It was pulling them out, setting them aside, and then reinserting them later. As best as he could figure, using Kit's technique could work, but he'd also have to coat Jill's mind in something else, because unless the machine took something from her, there'd be nothing for it to withdraw. And that could set off an alarm just as easily as them catching her thoughts. Pushing out from inside Jill's mind, he began to build a construct around it, one that closely resembled what Kit had taught him to do. On the outside of it, he hung a great many false memories and thoughts about Jill's day. Of being sick, the dog incident, that her brother had likely seen a dog, and that her boss was a sleazeball, that all she wanted to do was get home, lay down, and pass out. Throughout all of this, he tried to weave idle thoughts, regrets of her life, that she couldn't live her life normally and that she felt unfulfilled. Walking into a room closely resembling the one with the glass booth where she'd passed through the first time, Jill went straight to the device there. She stuck in her card and stood there, waiting. The reader took around 10 seconds, but finally turned green. There was a clunk and a small hatch opened from the reader. Reaching inside, Jill fished out her phone, pulled her ID card, and then stepped into the booth.
Gus, I'd really like to not lose myself here,
Jill pleaded.
I know. I did what I could. We'll see what...
The glass booth closed up quickly. the runes activated, and an incredible amount of force slammed down onto the shield Gus had constructed. Feeling like his head was splitting open, Gus did all he could to try to empower and hold his mental shielding, to keep it in place around Jill and protect who she was. With a crack and an explosive headache, the glass booth opened. The false memories he'd placed all around the shield and the shield itself were both gone now. Stumbling out of the booth, Jill was disoriented and not quite sure of where she was, or even what was going on. Collapsing to his knees, Gus barely managed to hold back a cough or not throw up. His head felt like a box filled with broken bits of a plate. Everything was rattling around inside at the slightest touch, tumbling piece over piece. He wanted to lay down right there. Something pushed deeper into his mind, forced itself into place, and then took control of his body. Suddenly, his fading camouflage magic was reinforced, and it felt like his legs weren't made of jello anymore. Moving without wishing to, Gus was being walked out the door, right behind Jill as she exited the plant.
"I've got you. Don't worry," Jill murmured. "You got me out. Now let me get you out."
Jill and Gus exited the plant together after having entered it separately and alone. Reaching the campsite, Gus suspected something wasn't quite right. Once he got his eyes on it, though, he knew that was the absolute truth. A bush looked like it had been hit with a flamethrower. The ground was torn up here and there like it had been clawed at, and one of the trees had actually been knocked down. Its roots were now sticking up out of the ground.
"What in the hell?"
There was a distant roar that made the hair on the back of Gus's neck stand on end.
"That doesn't sound friendly,"
muttered Jill. She'd been unwilling to go home after they left the plant. She wanted to stay with him, regardless of anything else. Pulling in Dolly from her holster, he thumbed her hammer back.
"Mm-hmm,"
moaned in Dolly, not hiding her pleasure at him handling her.
"Spin my barrel."
"Later."
Holding on to her, Gus started off at a fast jog toward where he had heard the roar.
"We're going toward it?"
Jill asked, chasing after him. It sounded like she was keeping up with him, but she was already breathing harder than normal.
"Yes, we are, because that's probably where Trish is,"
Gus said without any room for argument, moving quickly through the woods, letting his senses take over. His instincts. Gus felt like he was moving faster and faster, his feet finding the exact right place to set down as he flew along. Behind him, he could hear Jill trying to keep up, though he also heard her stumble, grunt, and then get back up and start running again. There was a sudden pressure inside his head, or more accurately, where Jill had taken up residence in his head. The pressure faded in seconds, and suddenly Jill was running along beside him, radiating a similar aura to the one he more often than not felt from his mom and sister. Panting hard as she ran along next to him, she was keeping up now, though it was obvious she wasn't in shape for this sort of thing. As they went, signs of battle became more obvious. They saw scorch marks, broken trees, ripped up turf, and actual fires burning. Up ahead, Gus could see a green sphere and a large, hulking monster pounding on it. Lifting Indali up, Gus sighted it on the massive creature. Turning just as he pulled the trigger, Gus got two shots off before the beast leapt to the side, blood flowing wildly out of its chest.
"Missed the heart. Hit the lungs. It's aware,"
Indali reported. Growling, then whimpering, the were took off into the forest.
"I'll help Trish. You get the were,"
Jill commanded, heading for the sphere.
"She's in the sphere?"
Glancing inside it as he ran after the were, he could indeed see Trish. She had a hand to her stomach. Her guts were spilling out of a big hole in her abdomen, and there was a massive rip that went from her shoulder down across her breast.
"Fuck!
I've got her! Go!"
Jill commanded once more, running right through Trish's sphere as if it weren't there.
"Trust me!"
For For some reason he couldn't understand, he did trust in Jill and that she could handle it. Chasing after the wear, Gus could feel fear all through the woods, from Trish, from Jill, and from the wear. Trish was terrified of death and that she was dying. Jill had absolute terror that she'd fail him, and the wear was losing its mind because Gus was chasing it. Specifically, that it was Gus.
The wear knows me.
Yes, it does. I have a suspicion that this won't end well,
Indali murmured as they came closer to the wear. They were now directly in front of Gus.
I'm overloading my rounds. Another hit should kill as long as it sent a mass.
Lifting Indali up, Gus aimed it at the back of the monster and pulled the trigger. The round missed slightly as the wear leapt over something. It struck it low in the hip and tore out a chunk of its body. Flesh, blood, and fur blowing outward. Landing in a heap, the wear rolled to a stop amongst the leaves and grass. Aiming at the monster's face, Gus froze.
Haley!
Gus shouted, coming to a stop, still aiming at the werebear's face.
Gus,
whimpered the young woman. Slowly, she lost her hold on her hybrid form and shrunk down into the lovely person he knew. Her black hair was loose and fanned out behind her head. Her blue eyes and pretty face were looking up at him from the ground, blood frothing up between her teeth.
She'll live if we don't shoot her again. Wares are really hardy creatures, but she just nearly killed Trish. Maybe did kill Trish,
mumbled Indali. Grimacing, Gus kept Indali pointed at Haley's face.
What the fuck are you doing? You just tried to murder Trish,
Gus demanded, his voice sounding louder in his own ears than he'd expected.
I love you. I deserve you,
Haley said in a rasping voice, her whole head bobbing with each breath.
They don't deserve you. They corrupted you. You should be my husband, not them. I'm the alpha, stronger than them all.
Shaking his head, Gus couldn't believe his ears.
So you tried to kill her?
He asked, not lowering his weapon. Licking her lips, blood trailing down from the corner of her mouth, Haley seemed to consider how to reply to that.
I'm the alpha. She wouldn't submit,
groaned Haley, her left hand pressed to the massive wound in her side.
I'm the alpha, Gus. I'm your alpha.
Gritting his teeth, Gus slammed a powerful spike of psychic energy into her head. The way she was talking didn't seem quite right, nor did her words. Something was wrong here. Looking into her mind, he found that someone had contacted her. Someone she didn't know. They told her Gus was married to more than one woman and that Haley wasn't being considered, would never be considered, that she wasn't liked and wouldn't be allowed to see Gus ever again, which had plunged Haley straight into a deep, dark depression. From there, she'd slowly worked out the idea that if she could just take over Gus's harem, become its alpha, she could join it. She could be in charge and be Gus's wife. It was a poisoned thought, one that went deep into her psyche, to the core of who she was. A thought that didn't seem like it was hers. It was put there by someone else, someone who wanted Haley to kill Gus's wives. Whimpering, Haley coughed suddenly and spat out a glob of blood. Coughing twice more, she suddenly got out what looked like a slug. The wounds in her bare torso were slowly closing.
Haley, I love my wives. You tried to kill one of them,
Gus said plainly.
You might have killed one, in fact. Trish, her guts were hanging out.
I hope she dies,
Haley said in a deep, rushing breath.
One less to kill later.
Haley, you don't mean that. You can't mean that,
said Gus, trying to push that horrible thought out of her mind. Then he started to work on the poisoned root of all this, trying to rip it out and return Haley to who she'd been.
I will be your alpha,
growled Haley, her eyes hard as she stared up at him.
I love you. I deserve you. You deserve a strong alpha.
Pulling with ever more force on the root of this insanity, Gus started to tear it free of her mind. He just needed to get it out of her, and he was positive she'd be fine. Then he could get her back to where she should be. Except it snapped back into place in her mind, as if that was where it belonged. Because technically, it did. Her entire personality had been twisted up around that ugly thought, bent and broken toward the idea that Gus needed an alpha, and unless she took care of it, forced his wives to submit or killed them, she'd never be his alpha.
I have to go finish her,
Haley said, her breathing slowly coming back under control.
She wouldn't submit.
They don't have to submit. You're not going to be my alpha, Haley,
declared Gus, his hands holding firmly to Indali. He had the feeling he was about to do something he would regret for his entire life. But he had no other option.
Be your alpha. I need to kill her,
Haley growled, her voice taking on a different tone.
Haley, I'm only going to say this once,
Gus said in a flat, deadly tone. He couldn't affect her way of thinking. He couldn't fix her thoughts or memories. There was nothing he could do to her externally to fix this. His only hope was to talk her down.
I need you to think this through, to understand that they're my wives and you can't just kill them, that they don't have to submit to you.
I will be your alpha, Gus, and you will love me,
said Haley, pushing up into a seated position. Even the massive chunk missing from her hip was looking much better.
They just need to submit or die.
Then I guess all I can say is, I'm sorry, Haley. You were a beautiful young woman with a bright future in front of her. I'll find out who did this to you, and I'll make them pay,
Gus said with a sad smile. Then he pulled the trigger. Chapter 23, Transformation. Returning to where he'd left Trish and Jill, Gus felt mentally destroyed. Jill was kneeling over Trish, both of her hands pressed to the dryad's stomach. Trish wasn't moving at all.
No, please, no.
Reaching the pair of them, Gus leaned over Jill's shoulder and looked down at Trish. Her eyes were open and moved to his face.
Oh, hello, dear,
Trish said in a strange way, finally taking a single breath. Her chest was torn open, and he could see into it, see her heart as it roughly beat inside her, even part of the top of her lung.
Working on,
said Trish, taking in a partial breath.
Healing. Jill is assisting.
How?
Gus asked. As far as he knew, Jill didn't even know she was anything special until just today. She knew she was an imp, but that was no better than a human.
Channeling all the whatever it is you put in me into her,
said Jill through her teeth.
Starting to run low.
That makes no sense. I couldn't give anything to Mel like that. And I couldn't help Trish when she was healing me like that. But she can.
Sam says she can do it. Give her all you can,
Indali nearly shouted. Putting his hands to Jill's back, Gus began to unload everything he had into her. Every scrap of fear, horror magic, and anything else he had into Jill. Moaning hard in a very sexual way, Jill leaned into Trish. The dryad promptly moaned just as sexually.
Oh,
squeaked Trish, looking at Jill. Her eyes went from her normal color to glowing, as if they were lit from the inside, like Melody's contracts did.
Some said it's very likely Jill is part succubus, by the way, Indali added. He just mentioned it. Almost all imps today were bred with succubi or incubi parents. It would explain her interest in succubi as well.
And you just had me let a succubus dump energy into a dryad? A nymph?
Yes, Indali muttered.
A succubus?
Jill asked aloud, staring down into Trish's face.
I'm a dryad,
Trish whispered, her voice filled with lust, staring back at her.
Let's three-way Gus until he collapses.
A sudden wave of sexual energy radiated out from Jill, and Gus felt like his libido had just been filled to the point of bursting.
Yeah, let's,
Jill said in a different voice, one that had a deep purr to it.
Sam is now convinced she's part succubus,
amended Indali.
You think so? Convinced, you say? Because I'm convinced.
Gus was positive of that, given the raging hard-on he had right now because of the aura Jill was throwing out. Despite what he'd just done to Haley and the fact that Trish was filleted open.
Pretty goddamn sure of her being a succubus, in fact.
Gus couldn't say much more, though, because before his very eyes, Trish's wounds were sealing themselves up. New skin growing over and quickly passing into the missing areas. Encouraged, Gus continued to dump everything he could into Jill.
Oh, give it to me, baby boy,
purred Jill. Then she moved back a bit, her shoulders pushing against the front of Gus and his obvious discomfort.
Trish and I are gonna turn your hips to dust.
I'm so excited,
Trish said in a husky voice as raw red skin filled in the gaps. Her open wounds were now just ugly red scars.
Let's go play when I'm done healing. I want to play. Yes,
said Jill. Slowly, a pair of obsidian horns grew up from her hair, reaching up several inches before they stopped.
Let's play. I want to play too.
The red swaths of flesh gradually faded to Trish's normal skin color. Her breathing was normal, and for all outward appearances, there didn't seem to be anything wrong with her at all. Letting go of Jill, Gus stumbled several steps away from her. All his reserves were drained. The hunger he felt now was almost unreal to him, considering how well-fed he had been for so long. Groaning, Jill hunched her shoulders, and then a pair of leathery, bat-like wings shot out from her back. They spread out wide behind her.
Okay, then.
Gus could still feel Jill in his mind, and he knew that he was still inside hers. Whatever change she was undergoing, it hadn't removed the fact that she was still an imp, apparently, but also something clearly different.
An imp succubus?
Sam has no idea how this is even possible. He said there's no such thing as an imp succubus half-breed. They're either one or the other, never both, and they're born that way,
relayed Indali. He didn't want to be around Jill or Trish right now. What they wanted didn't match his mood at all. There was no anger in him for what they were doing. They were simply allowing their true natures to be set free. And in Jill's case, a nature she'd never known. From his point of view, he could certainly understand both women, since he hadn't shifted out of his boogeyman self for days now. Being a human felt weird and weak to him. But still, his mood didn't fit their desires at all, despite it sounding fun.
Whatever, Impubus.
For now, he needed to go bury Haley. Squatting over the unmarked grave that would be Haley's eternal rest, Gus was troubled. Someone had poisoned her mind and sent her off to kill Gus's wives, those he was close to. They'd also almost succeeded. Haley had managed to track him down and ambush Trish, a dryad who was quite at home in a forest.
Everyone's in danger.
Mel is taking care of it. She already tried to call your parents, but they didn't pick up. Ness just went through a portal Sam put up. She's going to go check on them and keep them company, reported Indali. And yes, before you ask, she already contacted Mark as well as your sister. Paris said she'd just talked to your parents a few minutes before she talked to Mel.
Hey, no one else can hear me,
Serafina said in his ear.
I left the room.
Frowning slightly, Gus brought a thick, heavy curtain down over his thoughts. One so thick that a psychic would actually be able to feel it if they were in the same room as him.
What's up?
He mumbled, still looking at Haley's grave.
I'm sorry. I liked Haley. It isn't fair what happened, to you or her. But if it were me, and someone had twisted my mind around, I would hope you'd be able to give me the same closure.
Thanks, Sarah. I appreciate that.
Of course. I'm going to head back into the other room now, but I wanted to tell you that, privately, from me to you.
Serafina murmured. Gus lifted the curtain from his mind and promptly ran into Jill's presence. She easily coaxed out his memories of what had just happened, examined them, and set them aside.
Okay, I'm back. Here's Gus. I have him on speakerphone,
Sarah announced to likely everyone else in the room.
And I've been digging into the escape plans. There's a lot of them, and quite a few of them involve a full battalion's worth of people exiting, via portals, I think. There's a number of unlabeled rooms just beyond that door we stopped at. I think the actual security department is behind it, as well as the portals that'll lead everyone elsewhere.
That'd make sense,
Melody said. Her voice sounded like it was on the other side of the room.
Not something we can take on, though.
No, but it's something I can, said Sam with a chuckle. This seems like a perfect opportunity for me to actually get involved. That and the judge has been looking for an opening. I have no doubt she'd be happy to put her forces into play wherever those portals go.
That's a good point, answered Indali. Those portals will more than likely lead to safe locations. Those would be very good to break into and invade.
Yes, but this will certainly declare open war on the Silent One,
Miles countered.
Or at least open war on those who work for him. Are we ready? Are we at that point?
Pretty sure we don't have a choice. They just tried to kill my wife, Dad,
growled Melody.
I'm not exactly a forgiving woman.
No, you're right. We're beyond that point now if they're rotting people's minds and sending them out like suicide bombers,
admitted Miles.
Kit, Lily, Alex, thoughts? He's coming,
Alex said simply.
Regardless of what we're doing, the originator is coming. He's not going to wait. He's not going to speed up either. When I spoke to him last, he said he'd be here in 6 months.
You never did explain how you spoke to him, or even know this, son,
said Sam after a pause.
You're right. I didn't. You have secrets, father. Why can't I? I've already proven my information is real. I need do nothing else,
grumbled Alex. Sam sighed loudly.
Please forgive my boy. He's always been like this.
I do love him, but he was born 70 and crotchety, apologized Sam.
I say we move, stated Lily in a firm voice. When Felix comes, I want this place to already be clear of the Silent One's influence, so that the Originator can sweep in and go straight for the Silent One, and we can go home. I just want to go home. I want to see Andy and Mew, and I just want to go home. I really want to go home.
I know, murmured what sounded like Kit. Me too. I miss everyone as well. We'll get home soon.
So,
Gus said, his voice cutting through everyone.
We go when Ikeson comes back. I sneak in, cut off the escape route, and make it so he and the other high values can't leave. Inksuck sweeps in, along with the judge, I guess, and we knock this place down. Take it all, piece it out, and dig into their organization.
That sums it up,
Melody said, her voice much closer now.